Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tmura Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin 4 lines from the top, 5 lines more accurately. From the top of Daf Chof Aleph, you will see a new Mishnah. The Mishnah reads, Temuras HaBechor V'HaMaiser, the replication of sanctity of a Bechor or a Maiser. Bechor is a firstborn male animal. A miser is the tenth that the one tithes from any given year's births, new births of animals. Every tenth animal is dedicated as a miser sacrifice. So if one replicates their kedusha onto another animal, vlodon, their offspring, vlad vlodon, ad sof ha'olam, until the end of time, hare elu kibechor ukemiser, they will have the same laws that apply to a bechor and miser. And what is that? V'yochlu b'mumon l'baylim. When they develop a blemish, they will be able to be consumed by the owner and not brought as a sacrifice. Ma bein bechor u'maiser lebein kol hakodshim. What are the differences between a bechor maiser versus all other sacrifices? Shekol hakodshim nimkorim beitliz v'nishchotim beitliz. All other sacrifices, when they develop a blemish, can be sold in an itliz, a butcher shop, and they're weighed on scales for in anticipation of their sales. nishchotim beitliz, are slaughtered there, and nishkolin belitra, weighed on a balance scale. Chutz min habachor v'hamaiser, except for those kind of sacrifices, when they develop a blemish, they are not to be treated that way. V'yesh lohen pidyon v'rosayim pidyon. Other sacrifices have a redemption possibility upon their developing a blemish, and their tmura, their replicas, if they develop a blemish, are also subject to redemption. Chutz min habachor v'hamaiser, they are not subject to this redemption. Uboin michutza la'aretz, the other sacrifices can be brought from animals that are brought or imported from outside of Israel to Israel. Chutz min habechor v'hamaiser. With the exception of bechor and maiser, they do not come lechatchila from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Israel as other sacrifices. Rather, im bo t'mimim yikrivu, if they were brought from chutz la'aretz, unblemished, so they can be offered in Eretz Yisrael on the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdosh. V'im ba'alei mumin, if they develop a blemish, yochlu b'mumon l'baylim, they will be eaten by the owner as they are now blemished. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ma tam? What is the reason for this distinction? Shabachor v'hamaiser yeshlem parnoso mimekomon. Parnoso means a solution. They can be their solution is there in Chutz La'aretz. Ushar kol hakodshim, as opposed to all other sacrifices, afal pi shenoled bohem mum, even though they developed a blemish, hare elu b'kedushasan, they still have sanctity insofar as the money value of other sacrifices that developed a blemish are used, the money, the cash that you get for them, are used for the purchase of other sacrifices. And that's not the case of Bechor and Meiser. When they develop a blemish, the owner eats them, so that the final solution, so to speak, with regard to the Bechor and Meiser, is in fact their consumption, and that can be done when blemished in Chutz La'aretz. So there's no, we'll say, eventuality of some type of alter relationship, which is not the case when it comes to other kinds of sacrifices. We glance at Rashi. Shabachor v'maiser yesh lohen parnosa b'mekomon, yesh lohem takona b'mekomon. they, the Bechor Meiser, have a solution where they are, namely even in Chutzlars. Shiru, they can graze Achistovu v'yuchlu b'mumon l'baylim till they develop a blemish, and then the owner will eat them. Ushar kol akotchim, as opposed to all of their sacrifices, afal pi shenofal b'hen mum, even though they developed a blemish, harehen b'kedushas, and they still are in a state of sanctity, v'tzorch atol v'doison, and they need to be redeemed, ulahalois demeim, and to then take their money, ulakrivon, and use it for the purchase of sacrifices offered on the altar. V'hoil v'sefer l'akriv demeim, since the eventuality is that their money will be used for something, to purchase something that will be offered, yalu hein atzmon v'ikrivu. Therefore, they themselves, before they develop a blemish, are to be brought to the mizbeach to be offered. So that if one dedicates an animal outside of Israel, so you are expected lechatchila to bring it as a sacrifice and not wait till it, let's say, let it graze till it develops a blemish, because even in that case, true, the meat itself you'll be able to eat, but the money value is to for the purchase of a sacrifice. So we say that at the very outset, when you dedicate an animal outside of Israel as a sacrifice, you're supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim, as opposed to the Bechor and Meiser, which when they are set out to graze and develop a mum, there is no redemption. Therefore, even at the outset, there's no expectation to bring them from outside of Israel to be offered. We must emphasize, though, according to our Mishnah, the Bechor and Meiser of Chutzlarts, if they are brought to Yerushalayim, they can be offered, provided, of course, that they are unblemished. Before starting the Gemara itself, we have a new geometric form that we would like to explain. The diamond is appearing here. In addition to that, you'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a Roman numeral number 1 in a diamond, and a few lines later, if you skim down the page, you'll see a number 2. In the outside margin, we feature a Nosei Mivne heading. Nosei is a topic heading, and Mivne a structural note. At times, these appear as separate notes, and in this case, they appear together. They are one of the features of the Shas Ozer, which is the Gemara that appears on your screen, the cornerstone of Gemara markings. So in this case, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we feature a diamond and Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent Shnei Lishonos, two versions, B'she'elo, regarding a question, Ha'im Chayiv Mishum Isur HaTolas Mum B'Kotshim, is one going to be guilty of the prohibition of imposing a blemish on holy items? Number 1, Mishematil Mum Betmuras Bechor Umaiser, one who imposes a blemish on the replica of a Bechor Umaiser. Number 2, Mishematil Mum Betchi Shel Maiser. In tithing the Maiser Behemoth tithe, one has animals pass through a narrow passageway where they are counted one by one, so you'll count 1, 2, 3 until you get to number 10. Let us say, in the counting, you reach the ninth animal, and you declare the ninth animal as 10. So the halacha is that it gains a level of sanctity. It gains kedusha. What is that, even though it gains kedusha, it itself is not offered as a sacrifice. However, it has kedusha, meaning it's treated with a certain level of sanctity, which is not characteristic, of course, of something that remains chulin, that's totally mundane. The question here is that even though these are not offered as sacrifices, we mentioned in the Mishnah for the case of the Tumuras, Bechor, and Meiser, these are not offered as sacrifices themselves. And likewise, the chi'i, the ninth, in the case of the Maiser Behemah declared as number 10, is there nevertheless a prohibition that exists by other sacrifices of imposing a blemish on them? So now we turn to the Gemara, and you'll see number 2 is very similar to number 1, but the questions are simply presented in a reversed order. the Gemara. Amar Rava bar Rav Aza. Bo'arn b'mar Rava. They asked in Eretz Yisrael, Hamatil mum b'tmuras b'chora ma'isir mahu. One who imposes a blemish on the replica of a b'chor u'ma'isir, what is the din? Mi amrinon, do we say, kevon delo krevon lo mechayev, since they themselves are not offered as sacrifices, namely the replica of a b'chor ma'isir is not offered as a sacrifice, so there would be no prohibition of imposing a blemish on them, o'idilma, or possibly kevon dekotshu mechayev, or since they do have a certain level of sanctity, there is a prohibition, and one would be in violation of this prohibition of being matil mum bekotshim. Omar le Abaye. Abaye responds to this question and says, V'tiboya loch hamatil mum b'chi shel meiser. Why didn't you ask about the imposition of a blemish on a ninth animal that was called 10 in the counting of that particular year's new births in anticipation of the Meiser Behema, which we know about the ninth that was called 10, that it's sanctified but not offered. Why is it that you didn't ask about the imposition of a blemish on that situation? Well, because the Pasuk itself excludes it from the prohibition. The Pasuk says, Asiri, the tenth is a sacrifice. Lahotzi hashi'i, to the exclusion of the ninth. And therefore the ninth is exempt if one were to impose a blemish on it. Hachinami rachmona mi'atei. So to hear with regard to the Tmuras, Bechor, and Maiser, the Torah itself excludes them from this prohibition. Lo sifde ki kodesh heim. The pasuk in regard to the Bechor and Maiser will speak in general terms, says, do not redeem them because they are holy. Heim kravim. The ein Tmuras on kravo. By the same token, we see that just like in the case of Chi of Meiser, we had an exclusionary verse. So to here we have an exclusionary verse, namely, Haim Kravim, the Bechor and Meiser, they are offered, but not their replicas. And hence, their replicas are also exempt from this prohibition of imposing a mum on sacrifices. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Masni lo hachi. Rav Nachman presents this question and Abaye's response thusly. Now, you'll notice it's the same Gemara, just in a reversed order. Omar Rava braid Rav Aza. Bo'on b'mar Rava. They asked in Eretz Yisrael, Hamatil mum b'chi shel meiser mahu. One who imposes a blemish on the chi shel meiser, what is the din? Omar le Abaye v'tiboy olo hamatil mum b'tmuras b'choro meiser. Why don't they ask about the imposition of a mum on the replica of a b'chor u'meiser? El omar shno t'muras b'chor u'meiser delo mibay aloch. Why is it that the issue of imposition of a mum on the t'muras b'chor meiser, that is not posed as a question, because the verse already excludes them from this problem, from this violation, kodesh heim, from which we establish hein kraven ve'ein tmurasan kravo. Only the original Bechor and Meiser are offered, but their replicas are not, and hence they are exempt from the prohibition of blemish imposition. Chi shel Meiser nami, with regard to the ninth animal in the Meiser Behema process that's declared mistakenly as 10, Nami Rachmona Ba'ate, the Torah excludes it, Ho'asiri, Lahotzi Esachi, by saying the 10th, the Torah is thereby declaring 10th and not 9th. Therefore, the 9th is not offered as a sacrifice, nor is it subject to this violation or prohibition of imposing a blemish. The Imbo Tmimim Yikrevu. Our Mishnah said regarding the Bechor Meiser brought from outside the land of Israel that if they're brought without blemish, unblemished, to the Beis HaMikdash, they can be offered as sacrifices, as a Bechor and as a Meiser sacrifice. V'raminu, we raise a contradiction to our Mishnah from the following Tanaic source. Ben Antignus he'elo b'choros mi'bovel, v'lo kiblu mi'menu. Ben Antignus brought firstborn male animals from Babylonia to Yerushalayim, and they did not accept them in Yerushalayim as sacrifices. Well, that's contrary to the Mishnah's teaching that said yikrevu. Omar Rav Chisda lo kashya. There isn't a contradiction. Ha Rabbi Shmuel, ha Rabbi Akiva. These two sources represent two different schools of Tanaic thought. We should note, structurally, we are about to begin what we call a long answer. There's a tuf that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. This dashed line continues down quite a number of lines down Amud Beis, and it's because all of this section of Gemara is the presentation of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. And through the discussion, we will have to point out how our Mishnah parallels one of these opinions, and the source with involving Ben Antignus and they're not accepting the Bechor from Chutz La'aretz representing the other opinion. So we'll have to parallel the Mishnah with the Ben Antignus source with Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. But until we get to that point, we'll have to go through all of this Gemara. The topic heading that we've assigned to this section on the side is under the Nosei heading on the outside margin, Bechor Sheba Michutz La'aretz, the rule concerning a firstborn male animal brought from outside the land of Israel. So, after Rav Chisda tells us that there isn't a contradiction in sources, rather they represent two different Tanaic opinions, namely Rishon and Rekiva, and now the Sanyo, the Gemara presents a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source is going to be punctuated by a long section of Gemara. You will notice that this the upcoming Tanaic source, the frame, includes what it does. When you get to Amud Beis, you'll notice close to the few lines from the top, another triangle with a colored in tip, at which point a Tanaic source picks up. You know, it's this source that picks up. And the use of this triangle with the colored in tip is explained on the outside margin. Gimel Zakenim, there are three sages, Shedonu, Bevachor, Umayser Behema, that they talk about these topics, the topic of Bechor and Maiser Behema. And in the course of this discussion, the issue of that which comes from Chutz La'aretz will come up. The Nosei that we'll be dealing with immediately is featured under our Nosei heading. Haim Ma'alim Meiser Sheni Bizman Azeh V'yochlenu B'Yerushalayim. Do we bring Meiser Sheni, which is a produce from one's agricultural production, fruits, vegetables that one produces, every first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah, the seven-year Shemitah cycle, a person brings a tenth of his produce to Yerushalayim, or the money value as a result of redemption, for the purchase of food to be eaten in Yerushalayim. The question that the first source will deal with, we should say the first installment of this long source, deals with the issue of Meiser Sheni nowadays, now that there is no Beis HaMikdash. In addition to that, we'll be using a crown shape to feature the different terms, the term Bechor and the term Bikurim. These are references to the firstborn male animals and to the Bikurim, the first fruits, another tithe that one takes from his produce every year, the produce, the fruit that grows from trees. He brings the first ones to blossom as a gift to the Kohanim, which he presents to them in the Beis HaMikdash after bringing them in baskets and setting them on the floor to the side of the Mizbeach, after which they're presented to the Kohen. And they are cited here as Nisyonos, attempts, Ladun Mehem, to determine from them Ladin Meiser Sheni. We had a question regarding Meiser Sheni Bizman Azeh. We will try to learn the law regarding Meiser Sheni Bizman Azeh from the laws that pertain to Bechor and Bikurim. Now turning to the Gemara. Desanyo, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Shloisha Dvorim Mishum Shloisha Zakenim. Rabbi Yossi presents three teachings from three different sages, and they happen to be Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva ben Azai. They are the ones featured with this triangle marking, so that if you have the possibility of scrolling ahead to Chof Aleph Omid Beis, you'll notice how these triangles continue featuring on Omid Beis Rabbi Akiva and later ben Azai. We've also numbered them to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice triangles with numbers in them. So now the first discussion, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yochel Yalo Odom Meiser Sheni Bizman Azev Yochlenu B'Yerushalayim. Is it so, or is it possible that the halacha requires a person to bring his Meiser Sheni tithe nowadays that there is no Beis Hamikdash and it should be eaten in Yerushalayim? The din who? Logic would lead us to say no. What is the logic? Bechor ta'un havoas makom. We know that a firstborn male animal needs to be brought to Yerushalayim and offered as a sacrifice. Umaiser ta'un havoas makom. And Meiser Sheni is something that, as far as the Torah is concerned, is brought to Yerushalayim. Ma bechor einu necha elo b'fnei abayis. It's just like the firstborn male animal is something that's eaten only when there is a Beis HaMikdash. Af meiser einu necha elo b'fnei abayis. So I will extrapolate from Bechor, using that as a precedent, that Meiser too is not eaten unless there is a Beis HaMikdash, namely not nowadays. Well, to this the Gemara, the Braisa asks, Lo, I won't say thusly, Im Amris B'Bechor, if you are insistent upon the Bechor as being restricted to the time of the Beis HaMikdash, I'll tell you why. Shekein To'un Matan Domim Ve'imurim Legabi Mizbeach has a special feature in that it is offered as a sacrifice, and its blood and innards are offered on the altar. Tomar b'meiser delo, should you say that the same restrictions will apply to meiser where you don't have that? All meiser is, it's fruits that's brought into the walls of Yerushalayim, and there it's to be eaten. Now, since it's not really like Bechor, it may be that Bechor is restricted to the time of the temple because it has, in fact, Beis HaMikdash element to it. That's not the case of meiser, though. So therefore, it could be that meiser is practiced even today. The meiser, meaning the meiser sheni. Amris. So the Gemara responds, Bikurim Teunin Havoas Mokom Umaiser Toun Havoas Mokom. Let's look at the case of Bikurim, the tithe known as the first fruits. They are something that are required to be brought to Yerushalayim, and Meiser is required to be brought to Yerushalayim. Ma Bikurim Eine Cholim Elo Bifnei Abayis. Just like Bikurim are restricted to the time of the Beis HaMikdash, af Meiser Ein Nechal Elo Bifnei Abayis. So to Meiser, we would conclude, is eaten only at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and not nowadays. No, the Gemara to this also rejects Ma Le Bikurim. How can you expect to learn from Bikurim that that should be a precedent setter for Meiser? Shekein Teunin Hanocha. It requires the placing of those fruits on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash itself next to the Mizbeach. Tomar b'Meiser Dolo, should you expect to say the same thing by Meiser? That doesn't have such a requirement. Therefore, it may be that Bikurim is restricted to the time of the Beis HaMikdash because it has a Beis HaMikdash element to it. Not so with the case of Meiser. Well, at this point, if you had a standard, we'll call it the standard of the common Tanaic structure is, at this point, the Gemara, the Braisa would usually go back to Bechor and say, all right, well, Bechor is something that doesn't have the element of Hanocha, of being laid on the floor next to the Mizbeach, and yet it's restricted to the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so let's learn from Bechor. And this would become circular reasoning, and at a given point, the Braisa would be expected to say, all right, let's learn from a common denominator between Bechor and Bikurim. This is called the Lehadar Dino. Let's go back and combine the two in a we'll call it a logical fashion, and learn from a combination of Bechor and Meiser from their common denominator and extend that to the case of Meiser Sheni. Well, that doesn't happen in this source. In this source, after showing how we really cannot learn to Meiser Sheni from the case of Bikurim, the Braisa now presents a posuk to resolve the issue, and not a combination of Bechor and Bikurim. So what does it say here? Talmud Lomar, V'yochalta lufnei Hashem Elokecha, Meiser degon chovati rosh chavitzarecho, v'choros bekorecho v'tzoynecho. So in this posuk, what do we see? Hikish Meiser leBechor. In this pasuk, there's a reference to Meiser as well as a reference to Bechor. They are being compared. That's Hikish. They're being compared. Ma Bechor inu nechal b'fnei abayis, just like Bechor is eaten only at a time when there is a Beis HaMikdash. Af Meiser ein nechal elo b'fnei abayis. So too, Meiser is to be eaten only at the time there is a Beis HaMikdash. And the rule states that when you have a Hikish, when you have a a scriptural comparison, you accept it at face value and don't try to raise questions on the hekesh. Don't try to show differences, because a hekesh says, well, in spite of the differences, we are comparing them. The Gemara now asks the issue that we raised before. Why did the source introduce a pasuk where we dot underline Talmud Lomar just to help you see that immediately? Why did the source do that when it could have, after saying that I cannot learn from Bikurim, I go back and try to learn from Bechor, and of course we know you can't learn from Bechor itself, so then just combine them. V'lehader dina v'lesi b'mahatzad. This line means what we just said. Go back and try to learn from Bechor, and then use a common denominator between Bechor and Bikurim, and learn from that common denominator that just like they are limited to the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and then conclude from that to Meiser Sheni as well. Well, why didn't it do that? Omar Ravashi, the source, didn't do that because Mishum Ti'iko LaMeimar, there is still room to reject that style. Ma Lehatzad Hashova Shebehen, how can you expect me to learn from the common denominator of them, namely Bechor and Bikurim, to Meiser Sheni? Shekein yesh bohen tzad mizbeach, whether it be Bechor or Bikurim, they both have an altar element to it. In the case of Bechor, it's the sprinkling of the blood and the offering of the innards on the altar. In the case of Bikurim, it's the placing of the baskets of fruits next to the altar. Which is not the case. There is no tzad mizbeach with regard to Meiser Sheni. So I can't expect to learn from them because of their significant difference to the case of Meiser Sheni. And if you insist on somehow learning from Bechor to Meiser Sheni, I'm going to have to rely on a scriptural comparison, this hekesh, and only through that will I be able to come to my conclusion. The Gemara now asks, regarding Rabbi Shmuel and his raising of the question regarding Meiser Sheni Bizman Hazeh, why is it so obvious, why is it, put it this way, a question regarding Meiser Sheni, that he's in doubt regarding the Meiser Sheni, but with regard to Bechor, he's not in doubt? In other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it seems obvious to him that Bechor you wouldn't do Bizman Hazeh. So that's Poshet, that's called Pshitalei. Meiser Sheni, that's something he's not sure about. The Gemara will analyze this through analyzing another issue, and that is the sanctity that was bestowed upon the Beis HaMikdash, which we call Kedusha Rishona, the initial sanctity that it received. Is that of a timeless, a permanent nature, or of a temporary nature? The Gemara continues, Umay Kosovar, what does he hold, namely Rabbi Shmuel, what does he hold with in light of the fact that it's obvious to him that Bechor is not eaten, Bizman Hazeh, and Meiser Sheni he's not sure of? E Kosovar, and we've unemphasized with a squiggle underline the two possibilities that we raised just a moment before about the permanence of the initial sanctity bestowed upon the Beis HaMikdash. So we have two possibilities. E kosovar kedusha rishona kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel osid lavo. If he, Rabbi Shmuel, holds that the initial sanctity that bestowed upon the temple was not only sanctification at its time, but one of a permanent nature as well, that's l'osid lavo, well then, lo shno bechor v'lo shno meiser b'nei havo ninu. There should be no distinction between Bechor and Meiser, just like Bechor is something you could bring because of the permanent sanctity bestowed upon the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. So too, Meiser as well should be something one would be able to bring all the time, even after the temple period, because the temple the fact that the temple itself is not there would not be a binding factor in light of the fact that there is a permanent sanctity to the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. The Ikosavar Kedusha Rishona Kitchel L'Shaita V'lo Kitchel Osid Lavo, and if you are of the opinion that the initial sanctity bestowed upon the Beis HaMikdash was of a time-bound nature and not a permanent nature, then Afilu B'chor Nami Tiboy Aloch. Now, if you're saying that it was not Kitchel Osid Lavo, and you have a doubt, and you still have a doubt concerning Miser, namely, we're saying it's not of a permanent nature, but still you're saying, well, maybe I still will bring Miser. So why don't you ask about Bechor also, that just like you're asking about Miser, that even though we know that it doesn't have a permanent sanctity, that the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have permanent sanctification, just like you are raising the possibility with regard to Miser, raise it regarding the Bechor also. The Olam Kosovar, the Gemara responds and says, Kedusha Rishona Kitchel L'Shaita V'Loi Kitchel Osid Lavo. Like the Bay's possibility that that Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that the sanctity bestowed upon Yerushalayim was of a time bound nature, not permanent. The Hocha B'Mayaskinon, and here, what are we talking about here? Namely, that it is obvious to him that the Bechor is not eaten, and yet, with regard to Meiser, you are raising the question, what's the case? Kegoin shenizrak domoy shel bechor befnei habayis. We're talking about a very, very specific case. A case of bechor that was sacrificed, was slaughtered, and its blood sprinkled at the time the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. And on that very day that you had sprinkled the blood, the chorav habayis v'adayim besoro kayim, the temple was destroyed. And the meat is still around. Kevon de'i isei ledam lo bar zrikahu, since if the blood had not yet been sprinkled, at that point in time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you wouldn't be able to sprinkle it. Asi baser yolof midam. I determined the way to deal with the meat from the way I would have dealt with the blood at that moment. And now at the top of Omid Beis, V'osi Meiser V'yolif Mibachor. And then I learned the way to deal with Meiser Shemi from that case of the Bechor, in the Hekish in the Pasuk. The Rashi at the top of Omid Beis, V'osi Meiser Shemi V'yolif Mibachor B'Hekesha, V'ochalto Lefnei Hashem V'chulei, from the Hekish in that Pasuk, the comparison of Bechor to Meiser in that Pasuk, the Meiser Shemi Iskish LeBechor, there is a comparison. V'kevon de'ika b'chor de'pshita loy de'lo misachil. Since there is a case, albeit a very unique case, where we know for sure that the b'chor is not to be eaten, elo b'fnei habayis kegon hai, except unless there had been a Beis HaMikdash, like this case, namely where the blood was sprinkled when the temple was still standing and you have the meat left around, and we said that, well, since I couldn't sprinkle the blood now, because we hold that Kiddush, that it was a temporary sanctity, and since it's not Kitchel Osid Lavo, I wouldn't be able to sprinkle the blood now, therefore I can't eat the meat now. Gamrinon Meiser Minei, I will learn Meiser from that case. In other words, since I have a case that I'm sure about, that specific case of Bechor I'm sure about, therefore I'll learn Meiser, which I wasn't sure about, from that sure case. The Gemara now raises a technical question based on a Gemara in Zvochim. Umi yalfinon kodesh mehadodi. Can I use this style of learning, of deriving one thing from the other? The Omar of Yochanan, Kol HaTorah Kula Lemeidim Lomeid Min HaLomeid. With regard to the rest of the Torah, when you're outside the realm of Kodshim, sacrifices, I can use derived information to serve as a source for a third area of doubt or that needs clarification, which we can say in simple terms, learning, if I have A teaches me concerning B, and then I have derived information from A to B, I then turn around and learn from B to C, C being another area that's unknown. So I learn C from B, and B, I had learned from A. That's called lomed min halomed. So Rabbi Yochanan says that with regard to all different areas of the Torah, I can use that type of information derivation. Chutz min hakotshim, with the exception of kotshim, she'ein lemedim lomed min halomed, where this type of extrapolation is not acceptable. And in effect, that's what we just did. We just tried to learn Meiser Sheni from the meat of the Bechor, and the meat of the Bechor I was learning from the rules concerning the blood of the Bechor, the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach. We had just said that given the case of the Bechor that was slaughtered and sprinkled at the time of the Beis Hamikdash and then destroyed, and the meat was around, so I said, listen, the meat I'm determining from the blood, just like the blood could not be sprinkled now that the temple is destroyed, I can't eat the meat. And just like the meat I can't eat, I don't practice Meiser Sheni as well at this point in time. So how is this acceptable? How can you come to a conclusion regarding Meiser Sheni from this style of, through this style of learning from the Bechor? The Gemara answers, Meiser Chulin Hu. The product of this setup, namely Dam to Bosar, Bosar to Meiser, which we called before A to B and B to C, since the product of this discussion happens to be Meiser is just so happens to be a non-sacrifice. It's considered Chulin. It's considered mundane relative to sacrifices, and therefore I am entitled to use this style of information derivation, namely lomed min halomed. The Gemara says, "Oh, we're not finished though." Hanicha leman de omar boser lomed azlinon. This is fine and good according to the opinion that says, well, you look at the product. When you have a chain of information, you look at the product and establish. If the product is chulin, then I'm allowed to use this lomed min halomed. Elo leman de'omar bosar melamed azlinon ma'iko lememar. But according to another opinion that says that you look at the source of the information, not the derived information. And in this case, the source of the information was Bechor. And Bechor happened to be kodshim. And we said before that in the realm of kodshim, you do not learn lomed min halomed. So how can you conclude from Bechor regarding Meiser? The Gemara answers, Boser v'dam chado milsehi. It's not really a chain of derived, then turning around and teaching me concerning another derived point. It's a one-stage effort. Namely, the Boser, the meat, and the blood are one entity. They are the Bechor. The Bechor is made of Bosar and Dam. So since it's considered one unit, I am learning from Bechor in a one step process to Meiser Sheni. And that's not a problem of Lomed Min HaLomed, and therefore it's a legitimate form of deriving information concerning the Meiser Sheni. Now, as we mentioned earlier, the Tanaic source that we started on Omer Aleph picks up over here. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yochol, actually before we go on, we should glance at the outside margin where we have a Nosei heading, where we feature Rabbi Kiva, Bechor Michutzlaretz. He will deal with the issue of a firstborn male animal being brought from outside the land of Israel, which, by the way, was the original reason for bringing in this entire discussion. And we'll see Ben Azai, he deals with another topic, Achilas Meiser Bishalayim Bechol HaRoya, the consumption of Meiser Sheni fruits in the area of Yerushalayim, in other words, in the vicinity of Yerushalayim. Bechol HaRoya, Rashi explains, is a situation where someone standing in Yerushalayim can see you standing outside Yerushalayim, so that if you are at any point outside Yerushalayim, that someone can see you, can view you from within Yerushalayim, you're called Bechol HaRoya, so that technically speaking, even though you're not in Yerushalayim, you could still be eating Meiser Sheni fruits, because you are within this realm or range of Bechol HaRoya. So now we turn to the Gemara, bearing in mind the whole time that we have to eventually find information relevant to the issue of Bechor from Chutzlaretz, because we have what appeared to be a contradiction on Omer Aleph, regarding this matter. We had our mission on the one hand saying that a Bechor that's unblemished, that's brought from outside Israel, can in fact be offered as a Bechor sacrifice. And we have the Ben Antignos source where where it says in that source that they wouldn't accept his Bechor from Chutz Laretz. So we continue. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yochol Yalo Odom Bechor Michutz Laretz, Laretz Bizman Shebesimidish Kaim Viakrivenu. Could it be that a person would be able to bring a firstborn male animal from those animals born outside the land of Israel in the time of the Beis HaMikdash and be offered as a sacrifice? Talmud Lomar, V'yochaldu l'vnei Hashem Elokecha, Ma'asar degoncha, V'tiroshcha, V'tzarecha, U'v'choros b'korocha v'tzonecha. This pasuk may sound familiar. We have a little arrow here pointing, indicating Omer Aleph. If you go back to Chof Aleph, Omer Aleph, in the lower part of the page, you'll see an arrow indicating Omer Beis. Rabbi Shmuel had cited this pasuk of V'ilchatu l'fnei Hashem Elokecha for his purposes regarding Meiser Sheni Bezman Hazeh. Rabbi Akiva uses this pasuk regarding the bringing of Bechor from Chutz Laretz Bezman Beis HaMikdash. What does he see in this pasuk? As follows, Mimokom Shatamala Meiser Dogon Atamala Bechor, from the region from which you would bring Meiser Sheni. Meiser Dogon is the tithe of grains. You will bring the tithe, the Bechor, the firstborn male animals that are born to your flock or herd. What is that place? Where do you bring your Meiser Dogon from? Well, you bring it from produce that grows in Israel proper. So too, you will bring your Bechor from that which is born in Israel proper. Umimokom shiato male meiser dogon, from a place that you wouldn't bring meiser dogon. I atomale Bechor, you will not bring your Bechor. Now, at this point, we can now tie everything together. And Rashi does the job for us. So if you look in Rashi, we have a star in that will help you find the Rashi, about halfway down the Rashi commentary. Ato male Bechor, Ubraisa delo kiblu mi beis Antignus, from the Tanaic source that we saw in Amud Aleph, which featured Ben Antignus or Beis Antignus, where they didn't accept his exile or his outside of Israel, his outside of Israel Bechor. That's Rabbi Kiva he. That's what we just learned, where Rabbi Kiva compares Bechor to Meiser Dogon, which does not come from Chutz Laretz. Umas Nisan, our Mishnah, that spoke about the Bechor and Meiser, that if one happened to bring it unblemished, you will accept it. That's Rabbi Yishmoel he. The lo miyasur lehai kro lahachdosha. According to Rabbi Yishmoel, the pasuk that Rabbi Kiva cited for his point isn't available, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, for this point. He uses the pasuk for what he spoke about on Omer Aleph, namely the issue of Meiser Sheni Bizman Hazeh. And you'll notice that the long answer marking that we had featured on Omer Aleph ends at this point, because with the feature, with the bringing in of Rabbi Kiva, we then are able to now say that that which appeared to be a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Ben Antignus source really represents Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva that we just finished at this point. However, the Tanaic source itself continues, so we continue. Ben Azai Omer, Yochol Male Es Meiser Sheni V'yochlenu B'chol HaRoeh. When Meiser Sheni was practiced, would it be eaten even outside Yerushalayim proper, provided one could, at whatever point he is eating it outside Yerushalayim, he could be seen by someone standing in Yerushalayim. V'din hu. Well, logic would say, no, it can't be eaten. Meiser Sheni cannot be eaten b'chol haroyeh. Why? Bechor ton avo asmokum u'meiser ton avo asmokum. We know that the Bechor is something that has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and Meiser has its place unto which it's brought, namely Yerushalayim. Ma Bechor edonech halelu lefnim min achoyma. Just like Bechor, the meat of that sacrifice is eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. we know that kachim, sacrifices taken outside their precinct, are ruined. It's called psul yotze. They cannot be taken outside their boundaries. In the case of kachim kalim, which Bechor is an example thereof, it cannot be taken outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Af meiser, which is like Bechor in that it has havoas mokum, that we just said a line above, two lines above, eino nechal elo lefnim min hachoma, just like the Bechor must be within the walls, so too Shalayim must be within the walls, and not bechol haroyeh. However, we challenge this. Ma lebechor shekein ton matan domim veimurim legabi mizbeach. How can you learn Meiser from Bechor when Bechor has additional restrictions? It has the need of its blood sprinkled and its innards offered on the altar. Tomar b'Meiser dolo. Meiser doesn't have that, those same restrictions. Being that it doesn't have those requirements, maybe it's more flexible. Well, Talmud Lomar v'yochalto lifnei Hashem Elokecha masa degoncha tirashu tzarecha b'korecho v'tzonecha. You'll notice this is, again, the third time this pasuk is being cited, and it's Ben Azai's use of the pasuk to tell us makish meiser lebechor, compare meiser to bechor. Ma bechor eino nechal elo lifnim min achoma, just like bechor is eaten within the walls only, af meiser eino nechal elo lifnim hachoma, so to meiser sheni is eaten only within the walls of Yerushalayim and not bechol haroye. The Gemara asks, "My kashyolei de ka'omar yochol." What was the hava amina? What was the thought on the part of Ben Azai initially that Meister Sheni maybe could be eaten bechol haroya? In other words, is there any precedent for thinking such a thing? Amris, the answer is hoyelu tnan. We have the following Tanaic source that says, "Ein bein shilo lirushalayim." Shilo was a location which the Mishkan sat, was built for 369 years, and as such it was the place of sacrifices being offered and all other what's called Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash related activity. The Mishnah says in Megillah that there is no difference between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Elo sheb'Shiloh oichlim kochim kalim u'maiser sheni b'chol haroya. There one was able to eat kochim kalim, which are lighter form sanctity sacrifices like shlomim, bechor, todo. They could be eaten bechol ro, as well as meiser sheni ubishalayim lifnim min achoyma, as opposed to shalayim where they are eaten within the walls. Kan v'kan, kochim kochim lifnim al-klolim, whether it be Shiloh or Yerushalayim, the high-level sanctity sacrifices like a korban, chatos, a korban, osham, which are called kochim kochim, they're eaten within the azora, that's lifnim al-klolim, within the temple or mishkan courtyard. So, since we have a precedent from in the case of Shiloh, of Meiser Sheni being eaten b'chol haroya, mahu detema b'Yerushalayim leisi Meiser Sheni b'chol haroya, maybe you could eat the Meiser Sheni also with regard to Yerushalayim, even outside Yerushalayim, provided you're in the vision range of he who is standing in Yerushalayim. Komash malon, that's what I need the pasuk eventually to teach me, that no, that Meiser Sheni is like Bechor and is restricted to being within the walls. Now, you may ask, why is it that there is this havamina to treat Meiser Sheni different than Kochim Kalim? We saw that by Kochim Kalim, it's clear that it's restricted to being within the walls of Yerushalayim. And in the same breath, it seemed that Meiser Sheni was taught alongside that. So why is there even this doubt? So Rashi explains further down in the Rashi commentary, Yerushalayim lefinei akhoimo, the kashyole, what was bothering Ben Azai that he needs a pasuk to resolve it is what? Bishlamo kochim kalim bo matandam. I understand that kochim kalim is restricted to Yerushalayim, to within the walls, because it has a blood requirement. There we're talking about sacrifices that have a sprinkling of the blood on the altar. Ela meiser. Meiser is nothing, that has nothing to do with the altar. L'sa'akil b'chol haroeh. It maybe could be eaten actually outside Yerushalayim as long as you're in with a visibility range. And in fact, there was precedent for that in the case of Shiloh. Therefore, I need the pasuk to finally resolve the matter. The Shita Mekubetzis in Ois Hay also elaborates on this topic and explains, gives another explanation as to why the issue of Meiser Sheni was not as clear as the realm of other Kochim. And he points out that with regard to the realm of sacrifices, there are already other restrictions. For example, there are time restrictions and people restrictions. Kochim Kalim, you have only 2 days in which to eat it. A b'chor, for example, is eaten only by the kohanim. You don't have that kind of restriction when it comes to Meiser Sheni. Therefore, since I don't have those restrictions, maybe it could be eaten b'chol ora. Therefore, I need the pasuk to finally resolve the matter to limit Meiser Sheni as well to within the walls of Yerushalayim. The Gemara continues. Achirim oimrim. Yochol yehi b'chor she'ovro shnoso kipsula mukdashim v'yifsal. Could it be that a b'chor, if you leave it around till a year goes by, in other words, you have a firstborn male animal and it's now a year has passed and you still haven't brought it, there is an expectation that a person would bring the b'chor within its first year of birth as a sacrifice. Let's say he didn't do it. Would it make it unfit, like, let's say, a blemish makes other sacrifices unfit? Talmud Lomar, well, the Pasuk resolves this matter, and once again we see a citation from the Pasuk that was mentioned before by the three Tanoim above. Meiser Digoncha Tiroshcha V'Yitzarecha Makish Bechor L'Meiser. In this Pasuk, even though the word Bechor wasn't quoted in this brief quote of the Pasuk, but in that Pasuk which we saw above, in the pasuk there is a reference to Bechor and it's compared to Meiser. Ma Meiser eino nifsal mishona lechaverto, just like Meiser doesn't become unfit from year to year. In other words, if you have Meiser Sheni that you set aside on year one of the 7 year Shemitah cycle and you didn't eat it on year one, you can eat it on year two. It doesn't get ruined from 1 year to the next. Af b'chor eino nifsal mishona lechaverto. So to the b'chor that you left around from 1 year to the next, in its second year, it doesn't become ruined. Ula rabbonon de mafkilu letaim achrina, the rabbonon who used this very pasuk for other purposes, which we, of course, had spent time on before, the issue of 1 year to the next, mishona lechaverto mino lehu, well, where will the rabbonon learn this point from, that it doesn't become ruined by its, even though it's left till its second year? Answer: Nafkalu mi from the following pasuk: Mifnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu shana b'shana. Limein ala b'chor. This pasuk teaches concerning a b'chor she'eno nifsal mishana lechaverta. It doesn't become ruined from 1 year to the next. In other words, the expression shana b'shana implies 2 years. Ula achirim, the achirim that used or that derived b'chor not becoming posel from a different pasuk, lefnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu shana b'shana mai darshi bei. What do the achirim use this pasuk for? Answer: Miboy alei lichidetanya. They need it for that which is taught in the following source: Yom echod mishana zu v'yom echod mishana acheres. The expression shana b'shana to them means 1 day of this year, let's say the last day of a given year, and the first day of the next year. We made al habachor shenecha l'shnei yomim v'laylo echo. This teaches me the time extent in which a bechor in general must be consumed, namely 2 days and the intervening night. So they, the achirim, see in this pasuk shana b'shana not a reference to 2 complete years, but rather to a reference to 2 days, the last day of a given year and the first day of the next, a total of 2 days, telling me that you have 2 days and the intervening night in which to eat a bechor. V'rabbonon dinecha l'shnei yomim v'layla echad minolahu. The Rabbanon who needed the pasuk of Lifnei Hashem Elokecha to tell me that it's not ruined from one year to the next, where do they learn the time period in which a bechor is eaten? Omar Kro Yeloch Kachaze Hatnufa. They learn that particular ruling from this pasuk of Yeloch Kachaze Hatnufa. Now, how you see that in the words, for that you might want to look at Rashi for more elaboration. But for our purposes, we just simply want to tell you that Yeloch Kachaze Hatnufa teaches me the rule of 2 days and intervening night as the time length in which a bechor must be consumed according to the Rabbanan. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.